Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Yeah, that was swift. I just put something up on Facebook, and I forgot to put the link in it, so I guess I better delete it and try again. Anyway, welcome, friends. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. I received a very nice text before coming on the air today. The person who sent it knows he sent it, and I thank you. It is much appreciated, and we shall talk as friends. We have breaking news. Now, let us get to the breaking news. The other day, I shared with you a message from Tarja Parsonen of WNYStudentsFirst.org, and it was a post by a lady named Maria who has children who attend school in Lancaster. And Maria, early in the day, had to go pick up her asthmatic daughter who was having a bad reaction to the mask. You remember what the weather was like the other day? Hot, muggy, rather humid. And then later on in the day, Maria had to take her kid to or go with her boy playing football outside with a mask on who had such a bad reaction, he had to go to the hospital. Well, a lawsuit is being filed over this situation. And it, pay attention, because this might apply to more than just the petitioners in this case. Think about your own life as you hear this story. We're joined by Corey Hogan of Hogan Willig Law Firm. And yes, full disclosure, my daughter is an attorney there. And one more interview with Corey, she will be a full partner. And we also have Maria on, who is the mother of the children involved. First of all, Corey Hogan, welcome again to the program. It is appreciated.
Tom, it's always good to have a chance to talk to you and your listeners. I think it's helpful to get this information out there.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it counts as three law school credits listening to an hour of this show. I could be wrong. But let's start at the beginning. What is this lawsuit all about? Why is it being filed? What are the issues?
Okay, this particular lawsuit that we're doing on behalf of Maria and her husband and her two children is basically so that they can get back, go to school, in-person instruction. There's no other way to attend class in the Lancaster schools right now. There's no computer instruction taking place. In fact, her younger boy actually has an IEP, which makes it even more important. We're trying to get them back into the classroom without having to wear masks, because they both have asthmatic conditions that their mom will tell you a little bit more about. We'll have another action brought probably in federal court in another week or so, dealing with the whole mask mandate. But this is just to get these kids back in school while the school year is still there, without having to wear masks. Because from our perspective, one of the doctors that we're consulting with, it's very, very, very dangerous medically for them to be wearing masks whenever they have any kind of an asthmatic condition. And we don't want anything to happen to these kids.
I know that it is mentioned in the lawsuit, but there is no medical written exemption for either of these students involved in this lawsuit with their parents. Why do these children not have written medical exemptions to the masking policy?
Well, one is that it's not required in terms of what the Department of Health and the Department of Education promulgations were. That the regulations, the rule simply says that they have to be in a condition where, from a medical perspective, wearing a mask is not something that is good as if it's healthy for them. Two, not every physician out there wants to get involved in this bureaucratic mess of trying to write the appropriate letter that would allow that student to not wear a mask. A lot of physicians feel that from a political perspective, from a running their office perspective, from a liability perspective, they don't want to be part of the process. And part of what we're indicating here is that the parents themselves probably know better than anybody what the medical condition of their children is, and that they should be able to express that to the school, and as a result of that, allow their child to attend class without having to wear a mask.
So a simple declaration, according to the state itself, should be sufficient to establish a medical exemption reason for not wearing the mask. I want to just read Exhibit A. Students who are unable to medically tolerate a mask, including students where such mask would impair their physical health or mental health, are not subject to the required use of a mask. That is the New York State Department of Health's June 7th guideline on masking.
That's it. That's right.
I mean, that's a pretty strong statement. So as you basically just said, there is no burden of proof, if you will, on the parent or the student to show to the school authorities that they have a medical condition. Their word, their affirmation should be good enough, correct?
That's absolutely true, and it gets back to the same thing, Tom, when this whole thing started, when you had all these different storekeepers, when masks first came on the forefront, which and the whole idea behind them was when people couldn't maintain a social distance, then you should wear a mask. It was never supposed to be both, but in any event, when that started, there was a lot of people that came to us and said, what happens if somebody comes into the store and doesn't want to wear a mask? What are we supposed to do? Do we throw them out? Do we get in risk of confrontation? Are my employees at risk? And our advice at that point was, no, you're not the police. You shouldn't be doing something like that. It's not an appropriate thing for you to do. Well, it's the same here, where now all of a sudden teachers are put in that position, or the principal or whatever it is. But more importantly than that, putting them one layer on another in terms of a requirement for mask wearing or not mask wearing, when at the end of the day, there's very few other places where people are required to wear masks. Now all of a sudden you have these kids going to school. It's 85 degrees. They're not air conditioned. In this case, we'll talk more about it perhaps. No windows were open. The kid just came in from playing a football outside with a mask on, couldn't breathe. It's ridiculous that plain common sense doesn't rule the day, and that you take this thing off his mouth and nose that's preventing from breathing clearly when his trachea is closing up because of an asthmatic condition. It is insane how far this thing has been taken.
Well, excuse me, Corian, not only is it insane, and look, I'm not a lawyer, as you're well aware, but when I read the child endangerment statutes, anything you do that would endanger the physical or mental health of a child is a Class A misdemeanor. I mean, if I did this, I'd be arrested and charged. But if a school does it, what, they're off the hook?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons that we're bringing this action, is to get them back in school, and also from a medical perspective, allow the parents to make the decision for their kids. We don't need to have every parent run to every doctor around and ask the doctor to fill out some form so that their child can go to school and not wear a mask when the parent themselves know what's in their child's best interest. The mask story is another story. Hopefully we'll have a chance to talk about some other day. But as far as this case is concerned, this is to get these two kids back in school. If necessary, We will get a medical exemption if we need to do that. There's plenty of physicians that will examine the kids and give them what they need. But the reality here is, and there's a little bit of a principle that our clients feel is important, is that as a parent, they feel that they know what's best for their child. They were the ones that are dealing with their children. In this case here, the daughter is actually part of a special asthma protocol at Children's Hospital. She's been in an ICU because of an asthma condition. I think the parents understand, you know, what needs to be done to take care of their kid. Every parent out there knows how precious their children are, and they're going to do what they think is necessary for their children. We don't need Governor Cuomo or anybody else out there telling us how to take care of our kids. It's gotten to a point where it's ridiculous, it's stupid, and that's not a legal term. It's just plain stupid, and it's dangerous now.
Dangerous and I guess we can also say arbitrary and capricious, which is, you know, that catch-all phrase that will often accompany lawsuits such as this. We are speaking with Corey Hogan from Hogan Willig. The situation in Lancaster, I remember I read the post from a woman named Maria the other day who had to go to school and bring both of her kids. Well, let's see, one of the kids she had to bring home. The other, I think she had to meet at a hospital because he was forced to play football outside during gym class while wearing a mask. And may I remind you that Monday, it was like 84 degrees with a relative humidity close to 70%. And these kids have pre-existing asthmatic conditions. And this lawsuit is to get these kids back in school. Corey, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just want you to know Maria's with us, and she's also on the line. And if you want to talk with her, and she can tell you better than me what you went through that day.
That is exactly where I was going to turn next. Maria, thanks very much. I'm so glad you could join us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Tarya contacted me yesterday, and now today I find out about the lawsuit, and I'm glad you're proceeding with this. So we have a lot of parents who listen to this show who went through the Mondays, sending their kids to school with no mask or daycare with no mask, only to have them emerge wearing a mask. Tell us about what happened to you and your children on Monday. It's laid out in the lawsuit, but in your own words.
Sure. So, just to clarify, I do have four children in the district. So two are asthmatic, two are not. It started off, the kids went to school as normal, wearing their masks. I received a text, I believe it was around 10:15 in the morning, from my daughter basically saying, Mom, I don't feel good. I feel very lightheaded. I feel like I'm going to throw up. My asthma is bothering me, and I'm having a panic attack. So I said to her, go down to the nurse. It was kind of a couple texts back, and, she was almost like, I don't know if I can make it down there. I said, well, I'm going to call the nurse right now to let her know that you're coming down, and she can be on the lookout for you. But you need to get down to the nurse, and I'll come and get you. So I go down, or I call the nurse, and I said, Natalie's having an asthma attack, the masks. And, she was very, very nice. And she said, absolutely, come and get her. I'll be on the lookout for her and come, go up to her classroom and get her if I need to.
I don't know if somebody has the radio on in the background, but if you'd be kind enough to have them turn it off, we're getting a little bit of feedback in the background. Not sure if that is the issue, but we get a little bit of redundant sound, which is annoying when I do it, I'll tell you that much, but not so much with Maria. Are you back with us, Maria?
I am, yes.
Okay, so the nurse was very nice at the school, and she said she'd be on the lookout for your child who was experiencing a panic attack, which, by the way, is a very typical reaction when one is having an asthmatic episode.
Absolutely.
Been
That's
there.
First year, when you can't breathe, you have no choice but to panic. So I did, after I, told her I was on my way, I did try to call the superintendent to let him know, this is what's going on. I received a secretary who, I asked to leave a message. She asked what it's in regards to, and that's all I had to say was the word mask. And I got, well, you should probably call the principal at the school. So I did exactly that. I called the school, tried to talk to the principal, was told that I should call the nurse. So, kept getting bounced back and forth. Went and picked up Natalie, got her home. She was able to take her inhaler. You know, and she was better once we were home and able to get her mask off and all that and took her rescue inhalers and stuff. She was fine.
Now, allow me to interrupt. When your daughter went to the nurse's office, I presume that she carries around something like Preventil or Albuterol as a rescue inhaler?
She does, yes. Yeah, she self-carries her medication.
Okay, and the school is aware that if they see her huffing on something, she's not vaping.
Correct.
And once she was in the nurse's office, because of the fact that she was using her inhaler, was she allowed to take off and keep her mask off because she was medicating?
I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I was at the school. I live very close to the middle school, so I don't think her feet actually even touched the nurse's office by the time she was walked down to the nurse's office.
Okay.
The nurse kind of escorted her outside to me.
Very good. When she came to the car, was she wearing a mask?
She was, yes.
Can you discuss, I mean, look, as a parent, the worst thing any of us can experience is when our kids are sick. And obviously, the sicker the child, the more our worries exacerbate as parents. It doesn't matter whether your kid is 15 or 35 years old. That's our flesh and blood. When you are receiving these texts from your daughter, and we're going to get to your son momentarily, but when you're receiving these texts from your daughter, I know you said you live close to the school, but can you talk about your anxiety level?
Oh, sure. It's absolutely pure panic mode. You know, I know he got into it a little bit, but Natalie is a severe asthmatic. You know, she is seen by the Lung Center at Children's Hospital. We've ended up in the ICU for her asthma. And if people, you know, have not experienced asthma, it can go from 0 to 100 very quickly. You really never know what you're dealing with until you're there. Very scary.
Yeah, indeed. I experienced the joy of chemical weapons once in my life and had a very bad reaction to it. So I can definitely at least understand what it's like to feel like you can't, like you literally can't breathe. And your poor daughter, oh my goodness. Now, let me ask you this. If I'm the attorney for the school district, I'm going to say, well, have there not been other occasions when you've had to come to school to rescue your daughter? How do we know it was the mask to the exclusion of all other factors?
Well, I mean, yeah, there's always that chance that someone can have an asthma attack. However, you know, her asthma has been pretty well controlled. We haven't had any hospital trips. We haven't had any issues. And usually things that would trigger it would be, you know, if she was sick or other things like that, that would flare up her asthma. I mean, in this case, she was completely fine, sent her to school, completely healthy, you know, no issues at all. Haven't had to use her rescue inhaler for anything. So I would say as an argument to that, you know, yes, could it always happen 100% with an asthmatic? But
my more specific question, has it ever happened before? Have you ever been called to school before because of an asthmatic episode?
I have, yes. Yes, not with her this year, but in the past, yes.
Like roughly how many times?
Maybe twice over her. I would say she's a seventh grader, so I would say twice over the span of her years in school.
Okay. And on Monday, again, she was forced to wear a mask. And because of modern technology, she was able to text you basically from the initial onset of her symptoms all the way through, telling you that she felt faint, she felt like she was going to get sick, etc.
Correct. And just to kind of reiterate, after talking to her and getting her in the car, I mean, I was furious to find out not only was she wearing a mask, but she was put on a second floor with no windows open, no fans on, no air conditioning. I mean, it's like setting someone up for failure.
That strikes me as showing a complete lack of common sense. Hold on, Maria and Corey Hogan. We must break and take care of some bills here at News Radio 930 WBEN. If you're just joining us, hey, remember the other day? It was Monday where I read a message from Tarya Parsonen with WNYStudentsFirst.org. This is the lady who wrote the message. She had to go to school one time to pick up her daughter, who was in the middle of an asthmatic attack for only like the third time in her entire seventh through seventh grade school career. And then later had to deal with her son and the hospital. That's how bad he was affected by this. And this particular lawsuit, which is being filed by Hogan Willig, is seeking to get these children back in school for what is left of the school year without a mask. And as I read the New York Department of Health statement, it very clearly says students who are unable to medically tolerate a mask, including students where such mask would impair their physical health or mental health, are not subject to the required use of a mask. And I add on to that, there is no condition of that, you know, subject to a doctor's note. That's not in there. And it's basically at the discretion of the parent knowing what is best for the child, as explained to us by Corey Hogan. The weather today just screams for this song. It is Bowerly, and if you're just joining us, we have breaking news, and we'll try to fix it. And the basic story is, on Monday, I read a post from a lady named Maria, who at one point had to go to her daughter's school because her daughter was having an asthma slash panic attack because of the asthma. And if you've ever had an asthmatic episode, it's very easy to understand how that can morph into panic, okay? Because when you can't breathe, it's no fun. I had chemically induced once, and it was it was terrible. There were two of us in the group of 30 that we really got nailed by it. But, you know, living with that every day is something. Now, also, Maria, with whom we are speaking right now, had to deal with her son the same day. Monday was like in the 80s, relative humidity close to 70%. Corey Hogan, the attorney, Hogan Willig Law, he is with us. That firm is filing a lawsuit to get these kids back in school without having to wear masks, which, by the way, is permissible as per the New York State Department of Health. Let's get back to Maria before we swing around again to Corey Hogan. Maria, you've told us the story of your daughter, and then underneath, on the post I read from Tarja Parsonen, who's become a household name, I think, but on the post that you had put up that she messaged me on, you were even more aghast and furious when you had to deal with your son the same day. What happened there?
Sure. So basically what happened is my husband was off of work on Monday. We were doing some errands. We were in Williamsville, and I get a call from the nurse. Well, I should back up a little bit. So what I did do was, as soon as Natalie got sent home, I did send a text message to my son's teacher and said, hey, you know, just keep a lookout for Carter. Make sure he's doing okay. Now, Carter is an asthmatic. Carter is not a severe asthmatic. So to put that out there, he's never been hospitalized for his asthma. He's very well treated. He's a wrestler, so he's an athlete, football player. Just kind of wanted to put it out to his teacher to kind of keep a lookout for him, make sure he was doing okay, because he is not the kind of kid that would be, you know, hey, I have a problem, I want to go to the nurse kind of thing. He's right. Kind of a go-with-the-flow kind of kid. So I get a phone call from the nurse saying basically, you know, Carter's down here. He sounds really, really wheezy. He's having a tough time breathing. I'm going to give him a nebulizer treatment. You know, can you come pick him up? And I said, absolutely. You know, I'm about 20 minutes away. I'll be there, you know, leaving now. About 5 minutes later, I got another phone call stating, you know, he's still real wheezy. I'm giving him another treatment now. Really no improvement. You know, if we don't get some resolution with this treatment, I'm going to have to call 911. You know, which, of course, I said, absolutely. You do whatever you need to do. You know, I'm getting there as soon as I can. And I would say maybe 3 minutes later, you know, got another call saying, you know, no resolution, 911's on the way, you know, how far away are you kind of thing. And by that point, I was maybe 10 minutes away from school. Mm. So when I got there, you know, the ambulance were outside, paramedics were outside, you know, walked inside. I was livid, absolutely livid. Walked in there, you know, to see him laying there scared, you know, an 11-year-old kid. You know, with the paramedics next to him, and, you know, they just kind of said that, you know, they gave him a third treatment at that point. He was in the middle of treatment, and, you know, so he finished his treatment, still sounded terrible, and they were like, you know, I really think we need to take him into Children's by ambulance, and I said, absolutely, I'll ride with him, you know, kind of asked him what happened, And he started to tell me, you know, well, Mom, we were outside playing gym and we had our masks on. And I was in disbelief, you know, given how hot it was outside, that these kids would be outside playing football wearing a mask. That was, you know, clearly the start of his attack. Proceeded to, you know, go to lunch and try to carry on. And then once again was put back in the classroom where he was masked, no air conditioning, no windows open, no fans on. It was just ridiculous. You know, once the teacher did ask him, you know, how he was doing, and he said, not good. And they brought him down to the nurse, and he's telling him that he can't breathe, and they're yelling at him to put his mask back up over his nose on the way down to the nurse's office. I mean, the kid is telling you he can't breathe, and you know, you're worried about his mask falling down.
That's it. I'm sure the people telling him to put his mask back on were fully vaccinated. I mean, I have no way of knowing that, but that would be my assumption. They're adults.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's heartbreaking, you know. And
so what, okay, have you, before I swing back to Corey Hogan, did you try to resolve this with the school officials in Lancaster? If so, how, and what was the response?
So I did reach out to the middle school principal, who told me that, you know, we would have to get a letter from the doctor, basically saying that she would be medically exempt from having to wear her mask.
Okay, excuse me, but they have witnesses who can attest to the fact that the young lady was having a panic attack and was in asthmatic distress. Why in the hell should you have to get a doctor's note? They saw it themselves.
Right, exactly.
So, okay, I forgive me. I became very angry when I heard that for obvious reasons. So you tried to work it out, and they said they need a note from a doctor, which, by the way, did you point out at that point the state health department does not require the note from the doctor?
I have not. That's when I reached out to Corey and said, you know, what can we do to get these kids back in school? Like, you know, as a parent, I can't believe that, you know, I have to fight between their health and safety and their education. It's not something I ever thought I would have to do.
Corey Hogan, I want to swing back to you. You know, Corey, as Maria was speaking, I think my blood pressure went up and they might have to triple my lisinopril as a result of this conversation. But when you have adults who are presumably educated with at least master's degree, who are eyewitnesses to an acute medical pulmonary emergency saying, well, we might have seen it, but you need a doctor's note. That strikes me as the height of stupidity.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree with that statement, Tim. And that's the concern we had. And is it seems like instead of trying to figure out what's the best thing we can do for these kids, it's like, what other burden can we put upon them? And that's, we've talked about it before. We've got all these kids that are anywhere from kindergarten up through 12th grade that are, a lot of them are missing a year and a half of school. And the stories that I've heard about how they've been behaving, it's just been uniform that they're not doing well, a lot of them. Not everyone, but many of them are doing so poorly. And the fighting of just trying to get them back in the classroom seems so counterintuitive to what you would think the school systems and the people that work there should be all about. And this just seems like we're carrying it to this Kafkaesque, ludicrous conclusion here, where one of the doctors we've talked with and will be part of this case said that from Carter's perspective, you know, putting that mask on him is like trying to, is when you have an asthmatic condition and your trachea is closing up, it's like putting somebody's hand over their mouth and trying to prevent them from breathing. It could have killed them.
If we'd have done this at Guantanamo, there'd be marches in the street.
Rightfully so.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah. So there should be those marches right now.
Well, actually, they're having some big Unmask Our Children rallies that I would like to give some attention to as the program moves along here on WBEN. Corey Hogan with Hogan Willig is with us. Corey, I know that your intent is to get these kids back into school without their needing a mask. It would seem to me that if they simply are able to get a note from a medical practitioner, that would resolve this situation before it going through the court system. What am I missing?
Well, except in this case here, when we had a discussion with the pediatricians, they are not willing to get involved in that process. And there's a lot of physicians, because we have been dealing with a lot of different physicians, and I've heard this from a number of different sources where there's physicians out there and different people from different expert areas where they don't want to get themselves mixed up in this bureaucratic process. So it's not always as easy to do as you would think. We've consulted with another couple of physicians, and they've indicated to us there's no question in their mind that in this case here, both Natalie and Carter certainly should not be wearing masks given their asthmatic condition, and at some point we'll be able to secure the appropriate physician letter. But I think the bigger point here, I think to Maria and her husband's point is that they can do what's best for the children, as most parents can do, if not 99%. And they did everything right in terms of making certain that their kids were properly being treated by physicians. And like I said, Natalie's part of the Children's Hospital reach out program where she's part of that. Carter is doing well. He's playing sports. He's going to school. And it was so patently obvious that what they did in both situations was the wrong thing to do. They were hoping that the school would say, yeah, you're right, let's get these kids back in without masks. And when the school said no, and they reached out to their pediatrician who indicated from their perspective they don't want to get caught up in the middle of something like this, they had nowhere else to go, as Maria's pointed out to you, to choose between their children's health or getting them an education. So that's why they called us. And we're doing what we can do. We're working on both fronts. We're working on getting the school to relieve that the mask mandate for these two children, and also we'll get what's necessary from the appropriate medical officials. But it would seem there's these things are going to continue to pop up, and we need people to use their common sense. There's very few situations now where masks are required or mandated in our society, especially in New York, where it probably 80-85% people that either have been vaccinated or have natural immunity. All the indications are that natural immunity is probably going to be lifelong and effective.
Corey, have you, before going to this step of filing this lawsuit, have you reached out to counsel to the Lancaster school system and said, hey, can't we resolve this without having to go through all this?
We are in the process of trying to find out who is going to be representing them, if anybody, where they have a regular counsel on this. The different school systems have different attorneys, and that's something that we will consider doing. But up to this point, though, just so you know, Tom, on every action we've brought, we have tried to work things out, whether it's with New York State, whether it's with the county, whether it's with the Attorney General's office. We have always tried to get things resolved. Their position, and maybe that's the way it is that we are not willing to compromise our position. And when we tried to get the schools to take the kids back, when the superintendents had all written letters saying, bring these kids back, and when we showed them their own letters written by every superintendent in Western New York, and they still fought with us about getting the kids back into the classroom.
Jeez.
They're concerned about transmission rates. Well, you know, in Clarence and in Rhode Island, we said Clarence, we were dealing with the fact that they're only doing 4 days, that somehow they needed a Wednesday to do what? I don't know. But we said, okay, there's only a month left. Why not get to, everybody agrees the best place for these kids is in the school. And real quickly, it goes back to Cuomo back in December admitting that the transmission in schools of the virus is less than 0.5%.
Uh-huh.
0.5%, and then they've stopped giving us that information. We got it for September and October and November of last year, and then they refused to give it out.
Because it doesn't fit the narrative, would be my guess.
That's wrong. Why are they keeping that from the population where the COVID transmissions are? They doing all this contact tracing, requiring people to do it, and then they don't share the information. There's something wrong there. That's why there's a bigger picture here of our society and the fact that, you know, we should be taking care of each other, and this kind of governmental intrusion and control should not be going on. It's damaging everybody.
Well, Corey, come on. This is the same kind of thinking that during COVID tells people to look out for increased drinking, and then when the vaccine is around, hey, get vaccinated and have a mimosa. I mean, it's are you kidding me? I don't know what idiots are in charge. Well, I do know what idiots are in charge, and they make lots of money with overtime.
We have a restaurant.
I'm sorry, Corey, I don't know what happened to your phone, but suddenly you became very distant on me.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, much better. Thank you.
We have a restaurant that's being charged by the SLA because they served some food with the first drink. The customer asked for a second drink, and they didn't give them additional food with the second drink.
Oh,
time when you had to always eat whenever you got a drink. It's ridiculous that the state and these agencies are out there punishing people that are paying the bills, paying their taxes, trying to do the right thing. Most people get up each day and try to do the right thing. The state's taken the position that we're all children, and we get up and we're looking for ways to game the system. And that has not been my experience with any of our clients. They're hardworking people that are just trying to get through the day, and they don't need people making their life more difficult. And now you have parents whose children are being, a child in this case, being taken to the hospital in an ambulance, and they're trying to jam a mask on the kid's face.
Unbelievable.
Wrong.
Corey Hogan is with us on News Radio 930 WBEN. I know that it's not part, at least from what I've been able to read just before airtime, but I certainly hope, Corey, that your firm is going to recoup legal costs for Maria's family, as well as the payment of any copays due from the treatments received at the hospitals.
Yeah, who knows? That's not part of what we're asking for. At this point, we will file a notice of claim. But the goal here with all of this stuff, whoever it was to get the doors open so people could pay their own bills. People are doing crowdsource funding. They're doing their best. But, we are, from a legal financial perspective, it's a bit of a financial disaster. But there's too much at stake here for us to be worrying about it. And people are doing their best to pay what they can pay. And that's what we're asking, and people are doing their best, and we're going to try to keep this thing going until we get this stuff straightened out.
Corey, we have a lot of parents. I'd like Maria's thoughts on this as well. A lot of parents listening who are very upset that in many cases, and it depends a lot on the district and a lot on the school. Some schools, I'm told, are looking the other way. Like, we don't see anything. We see nothing. We know nothing. And others are just cracking down on the masks. At what point should a parent say to themselves, you know what, I need legal counsel. How bad does it have to get medically, psychologically on a kid these last few weeks of school?
Absolutely, and I want to let Maria put, but I just want, we've talked to a bunch of teachers, and they are telling us the kids bring in these masks, they're filthy, they're sneezing in them, there's virus and bacteria perhaps all over them, they're wearing the same one, they don't know how to wear them, they don't know how to take them off, there's almost certainly more damage being done than any good with these masks, and that's part of what we'll eventually be doing, but it's these poor teachers are now put in a position where they're spending more time worrying about whether a kid has a mask on than whether they're learning whatever they're supposed to be learning, which is what school's all about to begin with.
As somebody who has been there, Maria, what is your advice to parents listening right now saying, I feel so bad for Maria, but boy, do I have a story to tell her. What do you say as far as when it's time to take action and walk us through your thought process?
Sure. I mean, I think it's long past time, unfortunately. I mean, my intention was never for this story to go viral. It was clearly out of panic when I first wrote it in a website or on Facebook. But, just the outreach that I've got from parents from all across New York, in support and also sharing their stories of what's going on. It's just ridiculous. And, I do want to give a shout out to the teachers and the staff because they have really been working hard. And, a lot of it is not on them. It's coming from higher up. They're just doing what they're told to do. But, it's getting ridiculous. And, I go through these Facebook posts and, with these hot days, everyone's advice is to keep their kids home. And 100%, it's almost like our hands are tied.
Well, I know, Maria, I know that you are in touch with the Western New York Students First page on Facebook. There's also a site, wnystudentsfirst.org, that has been a great resource to many parents. And, at the end of the day, Maria, I don't know if it's going to come to this. I hope it does. I hope that you are reimbursed for your legal costs and for your medical costs and maybe some pain and suffering thrown in as well.
Yeah, like I said, my main intention is to get the kids back in school and to get the education that they need, and hopefully to get our story out there so other parents, we have to be our children's advocate. If we're not, there is no one else that's looking out for them.
Corey, are there enough people here for a class action? I mean, let me rephrase that. Do you suspect in our listening audience there are enough parents who have been through these kinds of experiences to qualify as an aggrieved class?
That's actually a legal question, and I think we're absolutely looking at that. We've got a couple of hundred parents that have already signed up, and the numbers are going up every day. Class actions, the problem with those, Tom, is that they take a while to get them certified, and it can be dragged out for many months, and we don't have many months because I know the governor's already made a pronouncement, which was ridiculous, that come September, he's going to require the kids to have masks on it. He doesn't even know what the conditions are going to be like next week. But to say for next September, kids are going to have to go to school and wear masks, and then who knows where this vaccination requirement is going to go.
Hey, real quickly, somebody yesterday called in trying to make the argument that under New York civil rights law, separating vaccinated from unvaccinated people at places of public accommodations violated civil rights law. And what I said was that my suspicion was civil rights law would not be applicable because people who aren't vaccinated do not constitute a protected class. What is the answer?
Yeah, I think you're more close to the truth than whoever made that argument. That is not a protected class, like, you know, race, creed, sex, national origin, that kind of stuff. There's certain types of vaccinations that are required in New York State. New York State removed the religious exemption from it, and I don't know if that's where this COVID-19 vaccination is heading, where the legislature is going to add it to the statute, which is going to require, it can require a certain list of vaccinations, whether it's diphtheria, mumps, measles, those kind of tetanus kind of shots are required. There's about six of them listed.
Hey Corey, I know you've got a really, really full schedule and everything, but can we just, I'd like to ask you a few questions about mandating vaccines for school kids. That's on a lot of parents' minds. Do you want to get back with us at about 5 minutes after three and stick around for about 10 minutes, five, 10 minutes?
I will make sure I can do that, sure.
All right, thank you. I feel like you're calling a Chinese restaurant. 5-10 minutes, you know, tops. So hold on, guys, or Pasquale will make the arrangements. It is 2:58, actually. News Radio 930 WBEN, our word this hour, door, D-O-O-R. Text it to 72881, 72881. I have no idea why two consecutive days I have given you the wrong time when I'm looking at the clock. I assure you it is not senility. I think it might be a case of the Thursdays as opposed to the Wednesdays and the Tuesdays.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.